Welcome to Coastal Cafe. I'm Marianne Wagner, your host today. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the University of Washington's College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Puget Sound is a unique landscape with shoreline bluffs and beaches shaped by wind, waves, and other natural forces. And today we are talking with Jay Krenitz and Jenna Jewett with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Estuary and Salmon Restoration Program about Shore Friendly, a program that works to inspire shoreline landowners to reduce erosion on their land and restore their natural shoreline habitats around the sound. Jay Krenitz manages the Estuary and Salmon Restoration Program and lives just outside of Olympia, Washington, with his three young boys and wife out on a few acres near Capitol Forest. He loves working together with the amazing community of people across Puget Sound to restore and protect natural and healthy shorelines. Jenna Jewett coordinates the Shore Friendly and Small Grants programs. Jenna grew up on the waterfront in South Puget Sound, where she experienced the natural and recreational wonders of the beach environment and gained an early understanding of the unique role private landowners play in managing their own shoreline properties. She now enjoys exploring tide pools and playing at the beach with her own young family in Olympia, and working to ensure landowners have access to the resources they need to both protect their properties and improve shoreline habitats. Welcome, Jay and Jenna. More than 25% of Puget Sound waterfront has some type of hard armor, whether it's a concrete bulkhead, rock wall, or wooden piling. For decades, homeowners regularly built these structures to protect their property from erosion. In more recent years, research has shown that these structures actually create more erosion problems for our shoreline environments, and that they also negatively impact a host of species, from salmon and seabirds to orca whales. So, Jay, what kind of problems do they create?
Well, thanks, Marianne, and thank you so much to you and Washington Sea Grant and Coastal Cafe for having Jenna and I on today. So I manage the program, like you said, and Jenna is a coordinator for Shore Friendly and is really super knowledgeable about so many of the technical aspects and works really closely with, I think, what is the heart of the Shore Friendly program. And that's our local Shore Friendly leads that are work across Puget Sound. There's a bunch of them. We'll talk about that later. But as far as the why are we focusing Shore Friendly on armor and armor removal, you know, I would say that that's a huge target for us and a big objective to remove hard armor. Also, it's, I would say more broadly, it's to restore natural shoreline function. And what I would call, it's kind of a technical wonky term, so get ready for it, shoreline processes. So what these processes are sediments being deposited onto the beach from some of the bluffs, some of these high bluffs that were put down through glacial action over the course of tens of thousands of years. And those sediments that are on the bluffs is what the beaches are composed of. So that process of natural erosion that happens at a relatively slow pace, even though sometimes we'll see a big bluff slide or sediment slide onto the beach, but those processes of sediment delivery into the intertidal area, creating those habitats, it's the stuff that creates what we see as a natural beach. And those natural beaches are really important habitat. So armor is one of the biggest things that gets in the way of that process, of those shorelines being able to erode their material naturally and create the beach. So that's one of our big targets. And like you had said, such a huge portion of our beaches across Puget Sound have that hard armoring or riprap or some sort of a hard structure that hold back that sediment. And we've done that over the course of 100 or so years. And we didn't understand or know that at this scale that it would impact our whole ecosystem to such a large degree. So now that we know this, now that we have science that's telling us that this is one of the big reasons why our shorelines are having problems, then we're working to address those issues. However, a lot of these lands are owned by private waterfront homeowners, and we want to work in partnership with them to help give them the tools and the resources to be able to restore those natural processes that are on their property in a way that works for them. So it is really important, and we're excited to work in partnership with the local shore-friendly leads and those waterfront homeowners to try to get our beaches healthy again.
Well, thank you. And Jenna, tell us a little bit more about shore-friendly and who you are.
Thank you. Thank you also for having us here today. Yeah, so Shore Friendly is a community of people working towards that those shoreline benefits like Jay was just talking about. So we know shoreline landowners value Puget Sound and living on the waterfront, and that they care about their homes and properties and the habitats that they share with fish and wildlife. Private waterfront landowners are a critical partner to improve our shorelines. And like Jay said, we can't be successful just doing restoration on the public lands. We want to do what works for those private landowners on their shorelines while also helping to support the habitat and wildlife needs. So a Shore Friendly program is set up with six different local programs who reach out to landowners through mailers, social media, workshops, webinars, and beach walks. We provide free individual and neighborhood site assessments that include expert recommendations for landowners that both address their concerns and improve those habitat conditions that we're trying to do. And we provide assistance through working through the permitting process, and we offer grants to help cover the cost of removing bulkheads.
So Jay, who funds these innovative programs?
Well, I want to really provide thanks to the Environmental Protection Agency that helped get this program started. It's through a partnership with Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, the Department of Natural Resources, and funded and helped led through what are called EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, National Estuary Program Funds, funded the pilot effort of this whole project and did some incredibly innovative work through helping to understand what shoreline landowners need and how they receive information and what are the strategies to work with private landowners to do this really important work. So that was the initial funding for the pilot effort. And then the Environmental Protection Agency, through this funding source, they don't fund what are called ongoing programs. They really want to be a catalyst for great work here in Puget Sound and across the nation. And so they needed a long-term home. Shore Friendly needed a long-term home within the state. And our estuary and salmon restoration program at the Department of Fish and Wildlife knew that it was such a good fit with our existing funding program. So I've been managing a program that's been in place since 2006, primarily doing large landscape restoration projects. These are called capital projects. These are big estuary restoration projects or big shoreline restoration projects, going in and restoring these natural habitats. And Shore Friendly gives us a whole new set of tools to work with waterfront landowners across Puget Sound. So we adopted this program a few years back, and we are working to support all of these local leads with the funding source that we have. They are all what are called capital projects. We lack what are called operating funds that help to do some of the outreach and some of that, how we get landowners through the door, which is a great opportunity for us to talk with you so that we can maybe have a few landowners hear this show, learn about Shore Friendly, and take advantage of these technical and financial resources through the capital budget that ESRP provides. So these are state capital budget funds that come through our program.
Thank you. And so Jenna, are there localized Shore Friendly programs at this point starting on their own in other counties?
Yes, there are. So there's a really strong benefit to having localized groups due to the unique needs of the communities. So the shoreline in Puget Sound is very different throughout, and it's important to have local teams of Shore Friendly experts who have an understanding of their community's needs and the local geographies to deliver the right tools to those landowners. So Shore Friendly is made up of six local programs. In the North Sound, we have three programs covering seven counties. So the Northwest Straits Foundation Shore Friendly program covers work in all of the northern seven counties, which include Whatcom, Skagit, Snohomish Island, San Juan, Clallam, and Jefferson counties. And overlapping up in the North Sound is the Swinomish Shore Friendly program, who works on the Swinomish Reservation, and Island County Shore Friendly, who delivers services to Island County shorelines. And then kind of mid-sound, we have Shore Friendly Kitsap for Kitsap County shorelines, Shore Friendly King County, and in the South Sound, we have three programs serving Mason, Thurston, and Pierce counties. So we have excellent coordination at the local levels. Our leads include conservation districts, a nonprofit, tribal government, and county government organizations. So just as a reminder, probably throughout this, I would just say to contact the local leads in your area. We encourage people to go to our website, which is the hub for Shore Friendly. So it's shorefriendly.org, and click on the resources tab. And there's this fun interactive map that helps you just click on, find your local program and click on it, and you'll get to the people you need to talk to.
So it really is a localized set of programs throughout the Puget Sound region. And that's great. That way you can address specific areas. So Jenna, landowners, I understand, have solutions for reducing erosion that are really attractive, even affordable, and are friendly for fish and wildlife. But what are some of those alternatives to building walls? What are they?
Yeah, that's a great question. So what we've learned is that one size doesn't fit all. One of the reasons for having local programs is that, and also local programs working directly with the landowners, they explore a range of different options for their individual properties through those free site assessments. So some considerations that experts are looking at are geology, coastal processes, hydrology, and other site characteristics, including where a structure is located, the vegetation on the property, wildlife, and past and present erosion control measures. So the range of design techniques that those site assessments explore typically includes, let's say, four buckets. So we have like a natural bucket. So that could be leaving the shoreline natural, adding vegetation, addressing drainage issues, and perhaps relocating structures out of harm's way. And then we have this soft and hard bucket, which might include log placement, beach nourishment, resloping, revegetation, or adding hard armor. And then we have the removal bucket, which is like the shore friendly, the best option for shore friendly, which is the design and removal of hard armor on the shoreline. So the natural and the armor removal buckets are the focus for providing incentives through the shore friendly program.
So Jay, reducing hard armor on Puget Sound sounds like it's really important for shoreline wildlife. Which wildlife are most impacted by hard armoring and why?
Well, it's times like this that I wish that I had my nearshore science manager with me. There's such a wealth of scientists out here, but what I know is the benefits are a lot of what we talk about when we're talking about beaches and shorelines is what are called forage fish. And these forage fish are these incredible little fishes, sand lance, herring. Herring is, they usually spawn and not on the beach, but offshore. Sand lance, and what's the other one? Help me remember besides sand lances. Surf smelts. So sand lance and surf smelts in particular use these beaches, and those fishes are incredibly nutrient rich and provide a massive contribution to the whole food web of Puget Sound. In addition, those are not just food for birds, but also for a lot of threatened and endangered species. So Chinook salmon, not only do they sometimes feed on these forage fishes, but they also use the same habitat in a lot of places. Chinook salmon are a very important fish, salmonid or salmon, type of salmon that is the primary food source for southern resident killer whales. And the southern resident killer whales, as so many of us know, from when Telequa carried her dead baby around for 17 days on Puget Sound and called, not that hadn't been actually even happening for a long time. We've these Southern residents have been struggling because of the loss of Chinook. But really, she called attention to the problem and the world responded. So we know that these Southern resident killer whales, Chinook salmon, who rely on these resources, forage fish, and then the contribution of these forage fish to the whole system. Whereas we also know that because forage fish are prey species for other species that may instead feed, there's no forage fish, they might instead feed on juvenile Chinook, which lowers their ability to survive out in the marine world. So it's complex. And there's so many things. Our program focuses on Puget Sound nearshore, the shorelines, because it is one of the most important habitat types in an ecosystem. These edge places where the land meets the sea, where fresh water meets salt water, those are places that are rich in biologically diverse and typically very important for lots of different things. So eelgrass, crabs, the shellfish, that is such an important industry and recreational opportunity, and also affects our ecosystem as well. So it's just such an important area.
Well, Jay, you mentioned earlier the role of sediment, and you just now mentioned eelgrass. So do native plants and, say, drift logs play a role in helping to dissipate, say, the force of waves? I mean, what's their role?
Yeah, I would say I've seen that happen. They do. When we create these artificial systems that don't have plants and animals interacting with it, they do things that we might not expect. What we've seen is where there's good, healthy vegetation, there's those trees and plants and things on the shoreline can actually slow down the erosive process. And we want erosion to happen, right? That's part of the natural process, but it can make it happen in a way that's maybe a little bit more predictable and helps with things like regulating the temperature along the shoreline. So we have seen some places where you'll have a shoreline that's done a lot of native plants, put a lot of native plants on the site, and it's actually slowed down some of the erosion power of some pretty strong wave action.
If you're just joining us, this is KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend, and I am Marianne Wagner, today's host of Coastal Cafe, and we're speaking with Jay Krenitz and Jenna Jewett with the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife's Shore Friendly Program. So Jay, where are some of the most important places to restore and protect in Puget Sound?
You know, I'll tell you, that is the $10,000 question. One of the issues with our beach system is that there's so much of it. It's such a big portion of our shorelines. We have very limited resources to be able to try to restore those places. And I'd say that's why, and this isn't our area of expertise, Jenna and I, but it's important to protect those places as well through other measures. But as far as how do we use restoration dollars on the shoreline, what are the most important places? You know, I would really look at some of those most important habitats that are utilized by those species that I were talking about earlier, mm-hmm. Chinook salmon, good places for forage fish. But we have a pretty complicated set of data and information that we are working to pull together through a project we call Beach Strategies. And that is a interactive decision support map or tool that will help local people who are thinking about restoring or protecting their shorelines make some of these important decisions about where could we have the most benefit to our actions. And it's a really hard question to answer, and I wish that I could. If I could answer that question, I should be in a different line of work.
Okay, thank you. And Jenna, can you share some examples of families that have successfully restored their shorelines?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So there are many success stories for shore-friendly activities. We have a series of videos on our main website, shorefriendly.org, And the local programs each have stories from their local communities that share the landowner perspective of why they chose to explore a shore-friendly method, how that process went for them, and what the outcomes were for their unique properties. So one quick example I can share is a landowner named Lee Dare in Kitsap County. So in 2017, Lee Dare became a part of the shore-friendly Kitsap program. Her Dyes Inlet property had a creosote piling bulkhead that stood like a stockade along 90 feet of beach. It needed to be removed to ensure a healthier ecosystem and sustainable environment. So Lee's project received a suite of incentives, shore-friendly incentives from the Shore-Friendly Kitsap program, including a geological site assessment from a shore-friendly contracted geologist, financial cost share incentives, including a $5,000 mini grant and a $10,000 construction grant, which funded the design and engineering and construction costs. She also received permitting assistance and project coordination as shore-friendly staff helped Lee secure permits and approval from the Army Corps of Engineers, WDFW, and Kitsap County. Her experience and the success of the project has led Lee to be a strong advocate for the program and inspired her to continue supporting landowners and the work by participating in our newly formed Shore-Friendly Advisory Committee.
Wow. Removing 90 feet of bulkhead is impressive and good for her, really. So Jay, would removing a bulkhead increase the value of the property?
Yeah, thanks. This is a good question, Marianne. And it's something that I don't think we have good data and information for as far as like property valuation. But I'd like to answer this in a little bit of a different way, if that's okay. What we found is that a lot of times when a homeowner is able to remove their bulkhead and take this artificial shoreline and restore it to a natural condition, that they're really pleased with the results. Because, you know, so many people love beaches and love shorelines because they're great places just to be. I mean, what do you say when you're introduce somebody new? Well, I love long walks on the beach. Well, we need more long places to have long walks on the beach because they're great places to be. And those landowners have responded to us after we've done this work that they love their section of the shoreline. So that is of value to the homeowner. And we work with them so that the shore-friendly projects can really provide the value for them. I would also say as well that there are lots of other values that shoreline restoration can have. And it's tied back to some of the species and processes that I talked about. When we have healthy ecosystems, we have healthy fisheries. We have harvestable catch for Chinook salmon. We have healthy orca populations that people value. There are these, I would call ecosystem services that have tons of value, and restoring our beaches can, I think, increase the overall value of Washington State. And that's why we utilize these capital dollars through the capital construction budget, because the legislature knows that when we improve our shorelines, it improves the whole health of the economies of our state.
Well, that's really a good point. And I want to ask Jenna, Shore-Friendly also offers homeowners free workshops. Is that right? And other things such as tax breaks, grants, permitting support. Can you talk a little bit more about the programs you offer to help incentivize landowners?
Yep. So it's different for each location. In general, yes, we have those free site assessments throughout the Sound, permitting assistance and support, mini grants to cover some costs of the projects and cost share of armor removal. So yes, every place is different and no one size fits all. We really encourage people to reach out for those free site assessments so that you can get better an understanding of your site and some recommendations, and also marry those with the landowner's values and priorities for their properties.
And Jay, you play a role of encouraging and coaching homeowners on ways of replacing unneeded bulkheads with more natural erosion protection through shore-friendly, but what is the role of realtors and contractors in this effort, if any?
Yeah. So, I will point out as well that the people who do the direct outreach to those waterfront homeowners are those local shore-friendly leads who know their local areas the best. They have incredible resources for homeowners, and they do that direct contact. We do work to support the shore-friendly leads through that work. And I've certainly had my fair share of working with homeowners and landowners. But the, I'm sorry, can you, I got distracted. Can you remember this, remind me the second part of the question?
Well, what role do realtors and contractors play in the effort?
Right. Thank you. I would say that they are such an important part of this whole shoreline management system. Often homeowners, some of their first contacts are, it's that realtor, right? You are looking for a place to buy, you talk to the realtor. So a lot of the trainings and outreach that has been done through Shore Friendly has been to this community. So realtors and contractors. And this is something that I'll put a shout out to one of your colleagues, Nicole Fagan with Washington Sea Grant, who we love and works very closely with our program. Her and others have worked to provide those trainings to those technical experts and the realtors. And we really need them as allies so that landowners, when they first purchase a home, that they have an opportunity to talk with our local shore-friendly leads so that they can know what some of the other alternatives are, not just replacing that hard armor because that's what's always been there, or building hard armor because, well, that's just what's been done for so long, and that's what our neighbors do. There is a new way of doing things in Puget Sound shorelines where we believe we can have win-wins for the landowner and for the ecosystem. So those contractors and those realtors, we really hope to have them as partners in our ability to reach out to those homeowners. So if you're listening, please call your local shore-friendly lead. We want to help be part of that solution.
Well, thank you, Jay and Jenna, for joining us today. And you did mention that your website is a fantastic resource for landowners on the shores. Shorefriendly.org is your website. And this is truly a win-win for nature and for homeowners. So thank you both. This is Mary Ann Wagner, and you've been listening to Coastal Cafe, a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the UW College of the Environment and KPTZ 91.9 FM. Washington Sea Grant helps people and marine life thrive by providing research, technical expertise, and education that support the conservation of our ocean and coastlines. I'd like to thank our station manager, Larry Stein, and production engineer, Jared Dufresne. And as always, a special shout out to the band Kooeaks for sharing their music with us at the open and closing of this program. And thank you for listening. Have a good day. Ha,